It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Welcome. 5 o'clock hour of sports talk on said Wednesday. Means we've made it through more than half of the week. It's all downhill from here. It'll be a pretty darn full weekend, I'll tell you that much. Starting tomorrow. College basketball season for me means four-day weekends from this point out until the next-to-last weekend of March. You got the men at home. Big one. Best rivalry in the Pac-12 now, no question, has become Oregon and Arizona. They've been the banner carriers for the conference for half a decade now. Easy. Other teams have made it, but not every year. And longest tenured coach in the Pac, Dana Altman. Next, it's the tie between Colorado's Tad Boyle, Sean Miller, 10 years, 13 for Altman. Wow, that's crazy to think. Wait, that math can't be right. He got the gig for 2010-2011. What am I talking about? Usually my math skills are impeccable, but usually I'm also looking at a list, which is a lot easier to do the math.
Are you still flabbergasted by the XFL talk from the end of last segment?
No. That I've already dismissed it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Altman, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is his 10th year. Maybe it was a tie atop the conference for tenure. Coincidentally, it's not his 9th or his 11th year in his 10th year. So Sean Miller got the gig in 09-10, so he actually has another year. And the other team, and by the way, who are the three ranked teams in the Pac-12 right now? Oregon, Arizona at 24, and Colorado at 25. Maybe that experience thing pretty helpful. Boyle took over, yeah, same year as Altman. Somebody, I guess I was talking to Joey Mack, that the next most tenured coach might be Bobby Hurley at Arizona State? That seems silly. That can't be. I mean, is this his fifth year already since he left Buffalo? Yeah, it is his fifth year since taking over for Herb Sendek. Wayne Tinkle of Oregon State, he took the Beav gig in 2014-15. So this is Coach Tinkle's sixth year. Yeah, I guess everything I was looking up, now it's all starting to fall into place. I'll tell you what, it gets harder and harder to just remember you know, who the coaches are, where. It used to be, it was kind of easy to remember. You had Ernie Kent, you had Mike Montgomery, and, you know, whether it was guys like Ben Braun and, you know, and on down the line. And then Stanford after, you know, that most successful run in program history, at least in the modern era. Gerard Hasse took over for Johnny Dawkins. That would be his 1, 2, 3, 4th year. and you know, Krestowiak in Utah. I don't know. He's probably right in the middle somewhere there.
Yeah, I just found the list on Sports Reference. Sean Miller's been at Arizona since 09-10. Altman, Tad Boyle, Larry, the other Coach K, and then...
nice. Mark Fox?
No.
This is his first year.
Right. Can't be him. Andy Enfield, Wayne Tinkle, they started in 13-14 and 14-15, respectively. And then it looks like every year since then, you're adding another. Bobby Hurley, Jared Haas, Mike Hopkins, Kyle Smith, Mick Cronin, and Mark Fox.
Yeah, Mick Cronin and Mike Fox are the new coaches in league.
There you go. For some reason, Sports Reference has their records for this year, their career at the current school, and their career overall, but they just don't have games. They have wins, loss, win-loss record, how many times they've made it to the NCAA tournament, how far they've gotten, and everything like that, but they don't have just career games. It seems like a weird thing.
Yeah, you
have
to click on the guy's name and get the individual statistics.
Pages, no thank you.
All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, the sleepover that led to Jerry Jones hiring Mike McCarthy.
Oh, do we have details?
It's getting more creepy.
Oh, we have details on it?
So ESPN has a story now. Cowboys Jones on McCarthy hire. I heard bells. What are you talking about?
Isn't when you
is there a ringing in his head now?
Hearing bells is a bad sign. He got your bell rung. Something happened and you're hearing ringing. Bad things have happened to you.
That's not a positive
swim
statement.
Swim away.
All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump in, let's go to Jersey Jack. How you doing, Jack?
Well, so maybe Jerry forced him to ride the bull in his den, and he flew off and had a concussion.
And that's why he took the job?
That's the answer to the question. How did we hire him? He didn't even know.
We hired him because he wasn't aware he was being hired.
Well, Jerry said, look, if you can't ride the bull, I can't have you as my head coach.
Wow. That's deep, Jack. That's deep.
It's kind of right back with back in the day with Texas Oil and who was the Texas Oil millionaire who controlled the TV networks back then?
You got me. I don't know.
That was a long running series.
Oh, J.R. Ewing
J.R.
on Dallas? I was thinking, like, who actually, like, headed up ABC or somebody. I was like, that was Lou Norwood. Had nothing
Dallas,
to do with oil.
Man, that's what Jerry's all about. He's all about media.
I got you. You got me a little confused. You stepped over the line to television, and I'm like, what the hell is Jack talking about?
I apologize.
That's all right. It's all right.
I won't do it again till the next time.
All right. Everybody gets one strike. That's our rule, you know.
Thank you, bud.
Take it easy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
I can't find anything on Jerry Jones's house on the internet. Like, there's a really weird satellite picture of it, and there's maybe a couple different... There's, like, a lot of different photos of just mansions. I don't think all of them are Jerry Jones's house. I have no idea what his house looks like. There's nothing on the
Why
report.
Would you?
Well, because these millionaires like to brag about all the things that they have in their home. Well, billionaires, I should say. Billionaires like to brag about all the cool things they have at their big home. If you're going to have a big, fancy sleepover with Mike McCarthy, did he get his own wing of the house? Is that where Mike McCarthy is living now? I don't understand.
Question.
I kind of want to know what's going on.
Is that a deal? Like, for example, like pick a wealthy, successful celebrity. Like, could you like Google George Clooney's house or Taylor Swift's house? And I'm wondering, is that like a thing? Because I know this is easier said than done. Chances of me becoming a billionaire are getting slimmer every day. But I don't know if I'd want one of those silly mansions with, you know, help and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. My house would be sweet. right? And you'd all have a special place to hang out.
I hope.
But you know, one of those things. I don't need S-shaped hedges, and you know, it's enough already with the marble.
T-shaped hedges would be much
definitely
more easy.
I would have
as well.
A place where I'd have a few golf holes, no question about that. I'd have a cool putting green,
yep.
Full basketball court, tennis court.
Full court, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would it be the one of the tennis basketball courts where it's the two of them together and then you just drop in the nets in the middle?
I was just thinking the same thing.
I would think you've got to at some point. It wouldn't make sense to have a tennis court and a basketball court, but you're running full court. You probably wouldn't all the time. We'll make the two together, save a little money.
I'll tell you what I would absolutely do is find... I would have to get in touch with my old buddies and find all the pinball machines we used to play in the 70s and early 80s, like blackjack.
Bowling alley?
Bowling alley, forget about it. That is a lock, stock, and two smoking barrels.
If you Google George Clooney's house, three separate videos show up of tours of the inside of his 2019 mansion.
Oh, so he just went new school.
Yeah, the little like thing that pops up on the side. George Clooney's homes, lots of pictures. They all look very nice. They actually look a
show lot. Show off.
They all look like the haunted mansion that's at like Disneyland, but nicer and I would assume not haunted unless Clooney's into that kind of thing.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
I really like that last caller. He's got my mantra. I won't do it again until next time or I get caught. Anyway, who's got the best, biggest house of all sporting people? I thought it was Michael Jordan had the biggest house of ever.
I thought he sold that.
Oh, that's right.
And from what I understand, I think if you're just going over the top, I think Shaq's place is nuts. You could look it up.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, take it easy. I think Shaq has like one of those, like a mirror in the shape of like a dollar sign or something. Because remember, when Shaq first signed his big contract, you know, he started wearing one of those kind of hats, the derby that the guy in Monopoly wears, and you know, started falling into all the cliches, you know, carrying like a cane and you know, driving a what's the ultimate for just a wealthy older gentleman, a Rolls Royce, you know, as opposed to a Maserati or a Lamborghini or something crazy like that.
Yeah, Shaq's also been on the show Tanked, which is it's an Animal Planet show where these two guys make custom aquariums for your home, basically. And Shaq decided that at one of the homes that he was in like Orlando or Florida or whatever, he was just like, I need you to take this entertainment center that's got a, you know, a 50-inch TV that's 9 feet deep that's built into this custom entertainment center that weighs 900,000 pounds. Because back in 2000, it was the coolest thing ever and I had to have it, but now I don't have room for it. He's like, I need you to take that and I need you to turn it into a gigantic fish tank with the front of like a big diesel truck on the front of it because my nickname is the Big Diesel. That's what Shaq asked for. His house is gigantic. It is massive. He's got like a custom chopper or whatever when he was on the other Discovery Channel show where they did West Coast Customs or whatever. He's got like a special made motorbike that's a tricycle where I think the distance from the front wheel to the back wheel is about 19 feet.
Really?
To fit a Shaq on it. It's a proportionally sized motorcycle, but for if everybody was as tall as Shaq, this is what all motorcycles would look like.
By the way, and I'm with Rome about personal appearance not being fodder, but somebody posted a picture of Shaq a few weeks back, two basketball players, and he was like the size of them. I'm serious. I'm concerned because it's just the extra, the wear and tear on your joints, your heart, your lungs. I mean, if Shaq was doing something for charity and he stepped on a scale and you had to hit it exactly, 387? Is that, could I be that far off? He was about 300 when he played.
Yeah, that's also in the listed weight days, and it was where you could kind of fudge the numbers.
No, I like Shaquille O'Neal a lot. I hope he's okay.
Got him listed at 325 on Basketball Reference, so I don't know.
Yeah, when he played.
Right, when he played. So it might be pushing four spins.
Yikes.
Big dude, man.
Yeah, he's a rather sizable fellow.
So the round mound of rebound as well. Charles Barkley, also kind of a big dude.
And next to Shaq, he looks like a point guard at D2 level. By the way, I wanted to once again thank our buddy Tim and the good folks from Papa John's, who's been our studio sponsor for more than a decade. Their generosity, much appreciated. And today they delivered a bunch of good stuff. The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza featuring... I can't not. Fredo is one of the Don's sons.
Tannenism.
By the way, somebody just said for Shaq, I'll take over 387. So, you know, you get Papa John's fresh original crust covered in creamy two cheese Alfredo sauce topped with a four cheese blend. It's baked to a crispy golden brown special garlic sauce. Garlic, man. Good invention. Good invention.
It's a plant. It was just there.
I'm just
there.
Saying. The first person that went... I know. I'm going to cook some stuff with this. Well done.
That's kind of like a random thought I've had for a while, is go back in time and discover...
I'd live for that stuff.
No, not garlic. Mint. Who looked at mint?
No, who looked at any of it?
Yeah, who looked at mint and was like, let's make everybody's breath smell like this.
Who came up with alcohol?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I got an idea. Crush this wine. I'm just tired of waking up and feeling good every day and making wise, rational decisions. I haven't been in a chariot accident and just...
Bob down the road was talking about these headaches that he gets in the morning after he drinks this weird grape juice.
Yeah, he says something about fermenting.
He had it ordered in a barrel. It sat in his basement for a really long time. He said he had some the other day, felt great, but now he's got this weird headache. I kind of want to know what's going on. What's the big hang up?
It's
here?
Like, you know, his great grandfather invented this fire thing, and then somebody took the grapes, then they fell into the fire. It's just, I think it's getting out of hand.
He comes from like a wheel family or something like that. I don't know. I think he's on to something.
So, anyway, back to Papa John's, who we were trying to thank for their delivery today. So, this special pizza that they are introducing. How about this? It's only $10 if you order and use the promo code EXTRA. So, like I said, a lot of cheese, Parmesan, Romano, garlic sauce, Alfredo, and you could actually, for a little fee, add more cheese if cheese is your thing. All right. And by the way, thanks to Tim and the good folks, locally owned Papa John's. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody said Shaq makes Panay Sewell look tiny. All right.
He's already like half a foot taller than him.
That's also true. The difference between 6'5", 6'6", and 7'3", is that's a big frame. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, bring in Dick. Dick, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Steamer?
All right. What's up?
Hey, you know, you're talking about Shaq and how big he is. You remember the bit on Saturday Night Live when what's his name was his dad, and Shaq comes home late and he's gonna spank Shaq.
Yeah, that was
Tracy
back.
Tracy Morgan.
Right. What was it? Big Bernard. That was the name of the routine.
He had to lay him across the couch, and the couch wasn't big enough for him.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about that. That's going back to the early days of Shaq on the Lakers, and he did SNL. No, that's good stuff. Appreciate the call, Dick. All right, 284-8571. So Tracy Morgan sitting on the couch, scolding Shaq, who lays across the couch, and he kind of paddles his bottom a little bit. There it is. I brought it up. It's from 1998. Fly from New York. It's Saturday night. All right, 284-8571. the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So Georgia announced Jake Fromm is entering the NFL draft. There's still been no word about the Ducks who might potentially leave, although I guess it's really down to three: Jordan Scott and the two defensive backs, Diamador Lenore, which is just, it's a natural, and Tomas Graham. But the quarterback, Jake Fromm, done entering the NFL draft. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's get to a phone call and bring in David. David, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Great. What's up?
I just, you were talking about Shaq and how big he is, and I have a pretty funny story of when I met Arvydas Sabonis, who's even bigger. Arvydas Sabonis was my aunt's next door neighbor back when he lived in Portland, and he had a specially custom built pickup. They had cut the top off and made it about a foot and a half taller.
Right.
And I knew that he had lived there, and I'd wanted to meet him for years. I was a little kid at the time. And finally, I saw him. I was visiting and was walking my dog. And, he pulls up, and he pulls in front of me going into his driveway. And he reaches over, and he opens from the driver's side. He opens the passenger side door and reaches down and picks up his newspaper. Like, he's just this shine of a man. It's just insane.
Yeah, he was 6'3", 280 when he played. That's a big dude.
Yeah.
All right.
But, have a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot, David. Customized. Yeah, you know, you wonder, I mean, even at his playing days, I don't care if it's the big and tall shop, Shaquille O'Neal ain't going into a place at 7'3 and saying, okay, what size sports jacket do you wear? I just don't see that happening.
There was, I think it was in The Athletic, or maybe it was in one of the Boston newspapers, but like Taco Fall, the big guy from UCF,
yeah,
he did like a fundraising event with the Celtics or through one of their charitable organizations. He had to get a tuxedo. And, like, I think they talked about what it was like for Taco Fall to get his tuxedo, and I didn't read the story, so I don't know what happened, but it was something like a double long, like, 46 regular kind of thing or something like that. He's too big of a person to fit into actual normal people clothes that you just have to have everything custom made.
Yeah, like I said, not a lot of off-the-rack buying. No. You know, I just realized, because, you know, what happens is, for most of us who don't attend pro basketball games, you know, you see someone like Steph Curry, and he looks like a little guy. He's 6'3". Right. He's, like, way taller than the average person. Right. But because he's against the 6'7 wings and the 7-foot pivot men,
you spend 3 years standing next to Klay Thompson, who's, like, 6'7", Draymond
right.
Green, 6'8", Kevin Durant's almost
guy.
7 feet tall. He's just like, guys! Hey, we're running the play!
I'll put it to you this way. What percentage of people out there work with somebody, have somebody common in their life that's 6'4 or bigger? Probably a very, very small percentage, but that guy is huge.
Right.
He's 6'4". Steph Curry, 6'3". Yep. I mean, it's just, you take it for granted. And, you know, let's say somebody just wanted a Rose Bowl sweatshirt, and they're 6'9". I mean, you can't fit in that one. That's not an XXXL. That's for width, not height.
Yeah, you got to get like an XL length, but you got to have like
double
XL. Yeah,
that's a custom
XL
order.
Longs.
You're not getting the $29.99 in the clearance bin. All right, that does bring us to break time. Boy, do we digress with the best of them. We'll do just that. Come back with a Coors Light update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
We're talking significant suspensions, a very large fine, potentially draft picks being taken away, the kinds of things that we've thought from the start. Major League Baseball understands that the eyes of the sport, not just the fans, but people within the sport, are on the league right now to see what they do exactly.
That's Jeff Passan, ESPN, said that when the hammer drops over this spying and cheating and sign stealing, there may not be lifetime bans, but it's going to be substantial, and I agree with him. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk 95.3, The Score. We've got the ESPN NBA game on. Doncic of Dallas and Jokic of Denver, both off substantial triple-doubles, hooking up in Big D. Well, I guess I should say Denver versus Dallas. Dallas is known as Big D. Denver's more mile high. But anyway, even game late in the first quarter. You know, one of the games that I thought would be pretty stout is Miami has gone into the, I was going to say Market Square Arena. The Pacers haven't played at Market Square Arena, I don't think, since the 90s.
Doesn't even sound like a real arena name. Yeah, like, that they went to the Market Center. What did they do?
That
they
was found the where, that was during the Reggie Miller era when the Knicks and Pacers used to do battle there.
It also sounds very Indiana to be like, ah, yeah, the Market Square. That's where the Pacers play. Everybody just kind of gathers around. We all build the stadium up every night. We all kind of sit there, have some fun. We all sit in the bleachers, have a good time together, talk about the Pacers, the Indy 500. After the game, we take everything down again. And it's back to a grocery store.
You know, it's amazing. I thought it was about 98-99, so I went back. Yeah, the last year they played in Market Square was 98-99. And then they moved to what they called, back during the late 90s, you had a lot of places who were named after dot-coms and thing like that. Then the bubble burst, and places didn't exist anymore. There was that when we went to watch the Phoenix Coyotes against the Buffalo Sabres when we were down for Auburn, Oregon in January of 2011. It was the jobbing.com arena. I don't think that company's been around for a half decade at least. Conseco Fieldhouse. And I'm not exactly sure when they built the new place, but anyway, you know, once you got into 2000s, finally Indy broke through and they made their lone final as a franchise, losing to the Lollikers. And then they started to get a little old. Rick Carlisle became coach. Bird stepped upstairs. And, you know, by the middle of the decade, they were like, they were still playing at Conseco Fieldhouse. And there was a time when people didn't think the Pacers would be a successful NBA franchise because it was, you know, you think of Indiana and Hoosiers and college, and was it really a pro city? And the bottom line is, I'll tell you what, put a pro NBA team there and have them battling the Bulls and Knicks for a decade and then making a final. Believe it or not, people are going to kind of show up and be excited about the franchise.
Bandwagoners.
And then in 2011, they moved to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. What's with the Fieldhouse, by the way? That's a Midwestern
that
thing.
Yeah, that I don't understand. It's like, okay, so we're going to be out in the
field. Or are we in the house?
It's going to be a little bit cold. We want to be outside, but we want to have a gathering place. Fieldhouse. Perfect. Put some windows up there. Feel like a barn, but just like a really big barn. Perfect for the Midwest.
Somebody wanted me to know that Massachusetts, it's where the actual Fredo, John Cazale, I believe his name is, he passed away some years ago. He was also in Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino. Attica! Attica! All right, let's not lose your mind just yet, Steve. But anyway, well, how did I? Oh, yeah, I was talking about Heat at Pacers. We spoke about Miami last week. They're only a 500 team on the road. They're 17-1 at home. Now, this one is in Indy. The Pacers were three back, and Victor Oladipo actually put a video out today. He went down injured, if you remember, middle of last year. He hasn't played since. He's saying January 29th, that's when he'll make his debut. This team already has six different players who score in double figures. Miles Turner, big fella, protects the rim out of Texas, was a lottery pick a few years. They made that trade with the Suns, got T.J. Warren, great scorer. Sabonis' kid we were talking about earlier is tremendous. He's averaging 18 and 13. When Oladipo comes back, they may start to climb, and yet they're kind of getting their baba beat tonight at home by 18 in the third quarter by Miami. But in the NBA, being down 17, 18 points in the third quarter, I guarantee they come back and make it a close game.
Yeah, I am just seeing on Twitter as well. Apparently, Jimmy Butler did something with TJ. Is it TJ Ward? I want to make
the guy on Indy.
TJ Warren on Indy. I guess the two had kind of been chirping at each other, and Butler intentionally let Warren foul him. They got into more chirping. It ended with Warren getting ejected and Jimmy Butler blowing him a kiss goodbye. So this will be some of the hot drums that will be talked about tomorrow in the NBA.
All right. Market Square. Why Market Square Arena? Do they like have, is that the Indianapolis version of the Saturday Market and they decided to sponsor
No, I'm telling you, I think everybody was just like, hey, here's a really nice, flat, large area, and every night when there's a home game, we'll just build up the stands and put a little roof over it, we'll play some basketball, we'll make sure everybody gets home safely, we'll take it down for the evening, and it'll just go back to being the field where we buy all of our produce from. The Market Center.
I like how you had to throw produce in there.
Well, the livestock that's in another building, you don't want to get those cross-contaminated.
All right. The text is, any word on the Oregon offensive coordinator yet? No. And I mentioned earlier, I heard a name, but that's the closest it's come. There hasn't been any rumors. There hasn't been my sources. There hasn't been an insider. And it happens to be the former Mississippi State coach, Joe Moorhead, who 24/7 reports is in the running. He started as a coach at lower levels, kind of came through the ranks. He became coach of his alma mater back in my old stomping ground, Fordham, in the Bronx. He played in the mid-90s, coached in the mid-2010s. What would stand out to anybody looking for his particular offensive prowess would be the 2 years he spent relatively recently, 2016, 2017, at Penn State working for James Franklin. And those 2 years as the Nittany Lion offensive coordinator, they lit it up. I mean, he inherited Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley, obviously terrific players. Chris Godwin, who now with Mike Evans is a lethal 1-2 punch at wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And if you think about 2016, when PSU was almost top 20, they were 21st in the country in scoring. Of course, that's out of 130. Impressive. That's the year they got into that shootout against USC in the Rose Bowl. And then in 2017, when Godwin was drafted into the NFL, Juwan Johnson became his 50-plus catch guy. And they were 7th. In the country in scoring points. Then what happened was the chain reaction. Dan Mullen of Mississippi State left to take the Florida gig, I guess when McElwain was canned, and Moorhead wanted to be a head coach. He headed for Starkville and became the MSU coach. And like we talked about earlier, and like some people have justifiably brought up on social media, you take that Mississippi State job, it's like, yeah, I got an SEC job, but it's like, I'm in the SEC West. This stinks. You got to play LSU, Alabama, Auburn every year and usually get your arse handed to you. But as a coordinator, he's an interesting choice. It's where he had his most high-level success as a Power 5 coach, if that makes sense. So if anybody out there has heard any other names bandied about, I'd be curious as to your thoughts. Bottom line is, when Cristobal went scoured the availabilities, went through resumes, conducted interviews, and landed on Andy Avalos, I would say he has earned a lot of trust. We talked about it. While the Broyles Award for the nation's top assistant, the top five did not include Coach Avalos, landed on Joe Brady of LSU, who became the passing game coordinator. And yeah, Joe Burrow did okay under him. The five were Phil Snow, the defensive coordinator for Baylor, Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator from Georgia, Joe Brady, I mentioned, Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator for Ohio State, and Morgan Scally, the defensive coordinator for Utah. But Snow was already in looking just for the best new hires of the year, with Lanning had been on the gig. Snow had been with Baylor. Brady, new. Hafley, Ohio State, new. Scally had been with Whittingham in Utah since 2006. I bet you if they came up with their top five new hires as coordinator, Avalos makes the list and easy, because once you started to see the season take shape, and everybody we spoke with, because, you know, we talk with a member of the opposition, be it a beat writer or a play-by-play guy or an analyst, after they mentioned Herbert, they'd be like, oh, and this defense is, you know, because you kind of fall into a trap, you know, reputation. You think of Oregon. And, you know, we in the bubble adjust year by year. Well, and actually, that's not really true. A lot of fans were still looking and thinking offense first, they need to do this. And it's like, you do realize they're giving up less than 3 touchdowns a game. So if they get to 24, they're going to win almost every game. And I think they would have won every game this year, except the 3 of them. But anyway, bottom line is, you look at the program and you look at what Avalos did, and you got to believe that the offensive coordinator will fit the mold and the vision that Cristobal has carved out for his program. And I believe that he has certainly earned the benefit of the doubt. I mean, when you take over what had been as stable of a program in the country with just, you know, the same coaches and year after year, and everybody knew their job and there was an element of familiarity about it. Then after 2016, for the first time since the late 70s, you totally clean house. Then you have Willie Taggart do a one and done Jones, and all of a sudden you get a guy who provides that kind of stability, and as a first year coach goes to 9 wins, then up to 12 from 7. I mean, you know, you really couldn't ask for much more. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take our final break of this Wednesday, and return with the tweet of the day and more sports talk. 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Brosford Sports Desk for the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. Twitter, pretty okay today. Pretty okay day on the Twitters. For me, I guess, wrapping up a week. So it did feel kind of like a Friday. I'm gone tomorrow. And
he's out of the contest.
See you later. At Draw Play by Dave with our running up, our runner-up tweet of the day here, taking a quote from Tom Brady that he put on Instagram that he still has more to prove. Tom Brady, one of the greatest, maybe if not second best quarterback in the history of the NFL. In 100 years, he is at worst 2 at his position. Saying, I still have more to prove, and at Draw Play Dave tweeting, is the most decorated and celebrated football in history. I still have so much more to prove. Doesn't make sense. Tom Brady's the worst. Go dunk and go away. or don't go and don't dunk and then go away. Either way, just leave. But our tweet of the day has to do with something that's been going on Twitter for a couple of days now. This guy at a dribble of a dribble of ink. He put this tweet out that's gone incredibly viral. Tell me a story about yourself that sounds like a lie, but is absolutely true.
And I love that.
Yeah, it's so many people have been doing this. It's awesome. At Rick Peterson tweeted out a response to one of these tweets. He said, I was in a limo that was stuck in traffic with at Phil Mickelson, who called his agent to see if we could get a helicopter to evacuate us. Well, our tweet of the day comes from at Phil Mickelson, who simply responded, Guns N' Roses concert, 1992. True story. There's something about just the perfect simplicity of that moment. Phil Mickelson's reading his mentions on Twitter. He's old. He's confused. Why do I have 2,700 notifications that somebody have liked a tweet that I mentioned and what's going on? Oh, yeah, the guy Rick. The Guns N' Roses concert. I called for a helicopter. How cool is that?
Some of the answers, by the way.
Very good.
Wild.
Yes. I can't. Nothing interesting has ever happened to me, so I have nothing value to add to that. So thanks to at Phil Mickelson for letting us enter into a strange world of what it was like to be around you in 1992, calling for a helicopter because of traffic. That's spectacular. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On our Instagram, you'll see a post of Finn. He was our Green Hill Pet of the Week. He is adorable and perfect. Go adopt him. At 953 the score on all of the social medias. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk.
Just JDI.
Choose kindness.
I responded to that tweet, and it says, something you've done that sounds like a lie but turns out to be the truth. So when I worked for Kids R Us in probably getting into late summer 1985, my supervisor in the inventory department was a big Rod Stewart fan, and she got word, because he was playing in the city, that he hung out at a place called Danceteria, which was kind of like, there were some hot spots in the 80s. You've heard of Studio 54. Sure. Danceteria was like one of those places.
Is that a cafeteria of dance?
No, it was a huge place. It was like the smoking hot club, and I was never a big club guy. But her really wealthy fiance, because let me tell you something, this is 1985, I'm making like $6 an hour, and to get into a place like Danceteria cost you 20. Whoa. 20. And back then, even drinks were $5-6. So I'm like, I can't afford that place. And so her soon-to-be hubby, Tim, decides he's going to pick up the tab for everybody. And there's like 12 of us. And so, sure enough, right over there, Rod Stewart and his entourage in a semi-private room. And I was a pretty big party boy. I was drinking vodka and cranberries. And we were also spending the night in the city, so nobody was driving because that wouldn't have been good. So like I said, it's 85. I'm 24 years old. If you think I could be obnoxious now, get drunk Steve in his 20s. So we're walking by, and I'm like, screw it. Hey, Rod! The last good thing you did was Night on the Town. I yelled, like, his last good album at the time was like 8 years ago, because he was Rockin' Rod Stewart, Small Faces, kick-ass rock and roller, and then he became like one of those that you would hear on these light music stations and magic music stations. And it was, he just did crap after like 1977, 78. And I yelled that, and it wasn't the bouncer because we were in, it was a security guy, big dude, looked at me and just gave me the head shake, like, no.
Hey, dude.
And Colleen, and nobody believed it until, like, for years, it would be like, all right, you don't believe me? And if we were at somebody's house, I'd call her, Colleen, what did I yell to Rod Stewart? Colleen, what did I yell to Rod Stewart? And she loved him. She was so pissed at me. It was unbelievable.
I'm sure you bringing it up at every little house party you went to. Watch
1985,
this.
Oh, 6, and 7.
I'm going to tell a great story, and then I'm going to get my friend all pissed off. Here we go.
Yep. She's like
party trick.
The bouncer had to be like 6'4", well, you know, 310 pounds, yeah, with the gold chains and everything, just tacky 80s hair.
You said bouncer in the 80s.
Right,
I'm aware.
So I yell that, and he just looks at me, shook his head twice, and I just walked away. Just walked away as Colleen was kind of dragging me away as well. So there's my sounds like a lie. Hate to tell you it's true, and I wouldn't even know where to find Colleen Arata right now to get confirmation on this story. You know what? I'm going to try and find her. I'm totally going to try and find her and say, hey, it's me. I've been living out here for 30 years. Confirm my Danceteria story. She'll probably get back at me with a DM of an emoji with a middle finger. All right. Wow. We're almost out of time. Looking to tomorrow. Aaron Fentress of The Athletic will join us. We'll talk with the new soccer coach, Graham Abel, who was introduced at the game the other night. Great ovation. And he was doing shout out on the court, which was pretty cool, as well as, which I got to ask him about, he was throwing those little plastic balls into the crowd. It's like, dude, you're a soccer coach. Kick it.
Yeah.
Or head it. Or do something like that. So I don't know. It seems pointless to do a lightning round for myself. And then tomorrow we'll debut our first men's basketball pregame show at 5:30. Then I'm going to head over to the arena for this big one against Arizona. And like we were talking about earlier, be curious to see how the fans respond to what is now the biggest rivalry in the Pac-12 with two of the longest tenured coaches with an awful lot on the line. I mean, the winner of this game gets a top 25 win. Arizona's looking at a top 10 win. And on the road, which, you know, with these new net rankings, that is substantial. That's quad one win. There's a lot on the line early. We look forward to that with great eagerness. But like I said, that'll be Thursday. We got a lot going on this week. As far as guests on Friday, Nick's not going to be here, abandoning me in my time of need. So that's pretty much a wrap. Thanks to everybody for hanging. To Sarah from Green Hill, who stopped by with Finn. Check him out online, green-hill.org, and adopt. Be the best decision you made. Give a pet its forever home. Forever. And that's a wrap. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.